We want the increase, but God says praise first. You begin to open your heart up. Woo, hallelujah. You begin to focus on how good He is. Not what He has, but who He is. And you don't care anymore about what's going on. You forget about your problem, what's overwhelmed you, and you're focusing on a God that's bigger, that's better, that's greater than anything you're facing. So I'm going to say it again. Let praise come forth out of us. Let all the earth sing that with me. Come on. And I want you to let God arise. Let's just do this. Let's give Him what He's worthy of. I didn't come here just to talk or to... I've come to bless His name. I've come to lift Him up. I want you to know that, listen, things will fail you. People will fail you. Your health will fail you. Your money will fail you. But I'm reminded of this. He sits upon a throne that He's never fell off. He's never fallen off the throne, and He never will. He's in control. When everything else is falling apart, when everything is breaking up, when everything else doesn't look like it's going to, how you're going to get out of this, God never changes. He's always on the throne. He's mighty. That's who He is. So that's just saying, let all the earth. Hallelujah.
All the earth will shout Your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are You, Lord. All the earth will shout.
Come on, that's us. We're all the earth.
Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Come on. You never fail us. Come on, I'm here to tell you that He never fails you. He never fails you. I don't care what you think, whatever you have been thought of God, or however you assume that He is, God never fails. You know, when we put ourselves in a place where that we're vulnerable to God, that we trust Him, it's the most powerful thing that you can ever do. Where you let go and say, God, I just need You. I pray that Your heart is quickened tonight. I pray that You are awakened. I pray that Your minds are open. I pray to God right now. I just pray for understanding. Come on, ask the Father God. Say, Lord, I ask You right now. Come on, say it with me. Lord, I ask You for understanding, that what I'm about ready to hear will give me understanding. And through that understanding, I'll be empowered by Your name. Amen. I want you to tell somebody beside you, I'm thankful for you. Come on, tell somebody else, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you guys. Thankful. Thank you. Come on. Children may go to their classes. Don't mind my glasses. I gripped them a little bit hard today. But I'm thankful I can see. Amen. Those kids know where to go. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You know, I brought this up. I went to get this. I just grabbed this. Is this how this works? You're supposed to plug it in, right? I mean, right? It's plugged in. I can hit the switch. 100 times, then it's not going to do anything, is it? You know why? It doesn't have power. There's no source of power. She wants me to hold her. I know she does. I'll get a backpack. We'll hold her right back here. But I just was really thinking about this, and as foolish as it is, this is us. This is us without plugging into God, man. A form of godliness, but deny the power. A form of godliness, but deny the power. I don't know where I'm really going to go here, because I just told my wife I'm just going to get alone with God today. We spent a lot of time in the hospital. I thought I was going to lose my dad. Yeah, it was a tough couple days. He is a fighter. Man, is he a fighter. And God told me a couple years ago when he was in the hospital and he was dead, they said, say your goodbyes. Literally, say your goodbyes. His organs shut down after hip surgery, and it was hard. And I told God, I said, God, take him. He says, I can't. Not until he says he's ready to go. You know why? Because there's so much life. Because he had took hold of everything that God was and believed it with all of his heart and ran with it. He was determined. When God says, I want you to leave the church, or you're getting paid and you have a salary and you're getting insurance, I want you to leave. I want you to start a church out on 65 in this old building and just go. He did. You know? He did what God told him to do. And just trusted him. And I was just reminded that the other day when I was standing there, and there he was in there again, and he was in a lot of pain Friday night and stuff, and it's hard to see your loved ones, you know, hurting. And those moments, those times where it kind of gets you, you know, you kind of get, you know, fearful and, you know, and all this and that. And I just felt God saying, thankful every second you have. Every minute you have. And I just want to tell you, I'm thankful for you. Every one of you, I mean it. I wish I can go to every one of you and tell you how thankful I am. How much you mean to me. Let's not let any second go without telling one another, wait. Wait a second. But tell one another we love them, appreciate them. There's no room for hate that way. There's no room for dishonesty or ununity or backstabbing or hurting one another, but there's oneness. And as I stood there, I felt that God says that even though I look and I says that we know that his health is failing you, I just said, but I serve a God that doesn't fail. I serve a God that doesn't fall off his throne. I serve a God that, you know, and not saying that, you know, my dad's 93. I've been blessed with 93 years, you know, just, I mean, on is a blessing. But I went in again this afternoon and he was doing incredible. He's just that way. He's a fighter. He said he wants to go see my mom. So that day's will come. But in the midst of it, I'm going to be thankful for every second that I have. Not worry about what's in the future, but right now, and be thankful. And be thankful with each other. And as I thought today, I just was just, and God began to speak to my heart about this. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always, always for all things. Some of those things that you question, come on, you help me tonight, that you question, how do I give thanks? How do I give thanks? How do I find thanks? I want you to know that there's something that we can find, that we can, to give thanks, to be thankful, because when you begin to thank, you become full. When you become thank, when you give thanks, it's about you to be thankful. There's three kinds of people. There's the people that are always complaining and always miserable, trying something they're depressed about. And then there's those that they don't say thank you, but they don't complain, they don't grumble, but they don't appreciate what they have. But then you got those ones that are thankful for every minute of a day, every second that they get. They find something to be thankful about. You'll find a person right there that's strong. Hallelujah. You'll find a person, because the key to success is thankfulness. The key, it's not one time a year. It's when we begin to understand the power that unlocks. When we enter into that, when we grab hold of thankfulness, when you begin to appreciate, you begin to look at it, it'll bring health to your bones. Come on. It'll bring happiness and joy to you that you can't buy anywhere else. You can't go buy. You can't purchase it. You can't get drunk enough to be that happy. You can't find it anywhere else. Go wherever you want, but you can't find it. But it's given to us. God has given us a powerful resource, and it's called thankfulness. To find that one thing. I wrote this down, that gratitude, gratefulness, turns what we have into enough and more. You begin to be thankful for what you have, and you begin to realize it's enough. It's okay. It's all right with this right here. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion into clarity. It makes sense of our past and brings peace to today, and it creates a vision for tomorrow. That's what thankfulness does. That's what gratefulness does. It is a weapon against the enemy. It's a powerful tool that you use. And it's something that we bring into our households. It's something that we lay on the table, that we consume together. Something that overcomes, love overcomes evil. And the attitude of gratefulness that you present, it causes people to be, it'll frustrate people when you're grateful and thankful. I'm thankful for you. I've never done anything for you. I'm grateful for you. Because if you're in my space, it's because of God. If you're around my footsteps, it's because of God. If you're in the sound of my voice, it's because of God. If you're in my vision, it's because of God. And through that, I'm going to be thankful, because you're there for a reason. You're there for a reason. And because of it, I'm going to be thankful. And grateful that you're there. Because you bring purpose to me. You help me bring clarity in some way, somehow, to fulfill what God has. God brings everything that's there. The Romans guard that were there to bring Jesus to the place where he needed to be. They thought they were killing him. They were, but yet they were just bringing him to where he needed to be. What looks like an enemy can just be a conduit to let God flow. Thank you, brother. I could just let him play, because I'm really not going to be long. I just feel I just want to share these few things. Psalm 68:19 says this. I got stuck on a scripture today, and this isn't it, but we're going to get to it. But I read this scripture in Psalm 68:19, and I don't think I've ever read it before. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation, Selah. Do you hear that? The God that loadeth us with benefits daily. But the clarity is to understand the rest of the scriptures where it says praise causes increase. Thankfulness will cause increase. It'll bring to you, it'll open a doorway that you can't get on your own. Thankfulness plugs you in, hallelujah, to the benefits of God, to recognize them. I want you to know that, listen to me, thankfulness doesn't always change the scenery, but what it'll do, it'll clean the window that you could see, what you couldn't see before. It'll clean off that window that you're able to see those things that you couldn't see before. It'll open your eyes, give you clarity to things. thankfulness and gratefulness that I promise you this, you begin to get into a fight with somebody or your wife or your neighbor, your friends or the people you work with. Sometimes I want to wring their necks. I really do. Really do. But what happens is when you begin to be thankful, I want you to try this. I want you to take hold of it. I want you to really step into this, to be thankful for those that you're around and watch how your attitude, something becomes clear. All of a sudden you see them different than what you've seen them before. They become clearer. They become, wow, I've never seen you that way. I've never seen what you have. But all of a sudden their benefits that they are begin to pour out to you that you didn't see before. Why? Because all you recognize were the things you weren't grateful for in that person. And that thing and that situation. But you can find it in anything, in everything you go through. He said thankful in all things, no matter what it is, to be thankful. First Chronicles 16:34 says, never stop giving thanks, for his mercy endures forever. Never stop giving thanks. Listen, when the Word of God, we have to understand when God's Word says something, why does it say that? Never stop giving thanks. Never stop. Because what happens is when you stop, you give the opportunity for the enemy to tell you what you're not thankful for. You give him a moment in your life for you to see something that doesn't work out for you, and you begin to become angry and mad about that, and you stew on that long enough, and it'll drive you. Bitterness, hatefulness, unforgiveness, it'll drive you. Trust me. Do you know people that commit crimes, they commit that. The people that these ones that have committed these heinous crimes, something drove them. And we understand that it's a force that's evil. But something began. There was something that happened. There was something that happened to their soul, that they were wounded in their soul. They were wounded somewhere. Do you know that's where you're wounded? You're wounded in your soul. And that's why God, the Spirit of God, wants you to be led by the Spirit, not your soul. Because what happens is you let your soul drive you and the woundedness will come out somewhere, somehow. It's through your soul that you express the wounds that happened to you. Somewhere, somehow, those things will come out, and they come out with your soul. That's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit, because those things begin to be pushed backwards, and they don't drive you no more, but the Spirit does. And love is empowered. Thankfulness is empowered. Gratefulness, joy is empowered in those moments when we let that out. But I want you to know that when you see, well, why do you say this? Let my dry bones, let my bones praise him. So I want you to know that. I want you to know it's not natural sometimes for us to do that. It seems it's kind of an unnatural for us to do that. Sometimes we don't feel like it. That's your soul. That's because you've been wounded somewhere. Insecurities. Worry maybe what someone will think of you. Being real. Doesn't mean we all worship the same. You might not be as crazy as I am or Dan. But you open it, and this is where we're going to get to tonight. Amen? Our mic wasn't working for a while, so right? Psalms 104. This is really ridiculous. You got some glasses. Man, this is... I go through them, man. I go through them. I have them everywhere. Oh. I go to work and have blueprints, and I can't see, and I try to get them to translate it, and I'm impatient sometimes because I need the answer, and they can't read the blueprint the right way. And I'm like, right there, look at this. I said, well, God, give me patience. I do at church. Let me have it right now. Listen, he's still working on me. Amen. Psalms 100. I didn't plan on this right here. I didn't really plan on this because it's Thanksgiving or anything. I know that when I came here to the church this afternoon, this is what God was sharing with me. Psalms 100 right here. And this is what it says. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto God. All you lands. Lands. Lands speak of soil. And in those lands are we can understand the soil that, and that's why he says, make a joyful noise, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Now I want you to see the connection that's there. This will help us. Do you understand that we let things come into our life to grow? We open ourselves up for something to be planted into our lives. That's how things come along, that there's a seed, there's something, there's something that's planted, there's something that is put there, there's something that maybe hurts and pains in the past. Come on, I want you to get this. Maybe something from the past is planted there, and what happens is if we don't uproot that with understanding and we don't uproot that thing, that it's going to grow somewhere. It's going to come up. I don't care if it's in between that concrete. I've seen it. Hallelujah. I've seen trees that we had a tree one time that came up and I didn't plant the tree. Come on, amen. But somebody, somehow, a bird or something dropped the seed. I didn't plant it. And I want you to get this. There's some things that you didn't do. You didn't sow this thing. You didn't put it in your life. But there are some things that unfortunately get planted in our lives. And he wants us to declare, make a joyful noise, all you lands, because you, I want you to know that you become soil, a place for fertile to be sown, seeds to be sown in your life. Whenever we open ourselves up, when we come to that place, we become not from being dry in a wilderness season, but to be in a fertile place, be in a Garden of Eden. Amen. So we can make a joyful noise, and it begins by making a joyful noise. What kind of noise am I making? What kind of sound? Tell someone, what kind of sound are you making? Sounds are powerful, because I want you to understand that whatever sound you're making, the sound that you make, you attract. If it's ungratefulness, you're going to attract ungratefulness. It's going to grow in your heart. Do you understand that you're the soil that is attracting whatever's growing? Come on, animals. When my friend said that when he's in Colorado, he says that there's nothing more amazing whenever you're coming over a mountain and you didn't know that what's on the other side, but all of a sudden you begin to hear that elk cry. But you hear that and you don't know it's there, and all of a sudden you hear and you're like, oh. He says it runs through you like a chill through your bones, because you know that they're powerful and they're mighty and they're big. And he says, and they're calling. They're not calling you. Hey, honey. No, I want you to know that they're attracting a mate. They're calling another of its kind. They're making a sound. I want you to know that gratefulness attracts something. It draws something. It'll bring something. It'll cause your soil, your ground to begin to grow. Amen? It'll cause increase. Like I said from the beginning, it'll cause increase somewhere, somehow in your life. It'll begin to bring increase into your life. You could be broke and you got thankfulness. I'm going to tell you something. Whew. I know we don't like being broke. I'm not saying that. But I remember me and my wife, when we first got married, man, that we didn't have any understanding of money. We didn't have any. But we knew what credit was. I remember the first Christmas that we had, we just had a great Christmas. And then we realized what went out did not match what came in. And I remember her and I driving in our van, a beat up van, with our dog that we paid way too much money for. Should never have to pay for a dog. I remember when they were free. So we're driving down the highway, and as we're going back to return the gifts, the Christmas presents for one another, we wrecked. I remember smashing into that car. But I remember what a powerful moment it was, because as we sat there, we looked at one another, and we chose at that moment to be grateful, thankful. We place some obstacles of our own in a way. I can't be mad at God for what happened. We begin to learn at that moment to be grateful. to be thankful for what we just had. We had each other. I remember our first anniversary, we had grape juice. It was flat. Great pop. And two hot dogs and some chips. I remember that. We've ate some of the best restaurants around. And I really don't remember what I had. But I remember that. Come on, hear me. I remember that. Whew, that made us who we are. Come on. Appreciating that moment that you had with each other. That's gratefulness. I'm going to tell you, it smacks the enemy in the face. When you place a seat down, when he wants you to begin to run and get mad, and you place a seat down, you said, sit right here while I worship God. Watch me. Watch me. Because the scripture says, let God arise, and you're going to have to run. Like the song we sing, it says, all my sorrows can come along, but you can't stay very long if I begin to praise, because you're going to leave. That's powerful. But we're going to make a sound somewhere or another. We're making some sort of sound. We're making some type of expression. He says, make a joyful noise because you're noisy. You might not say a word, but you're noisy. You're thinking in your head. You're making a noise in your head, and sometimes it doesn't sound joyful. Sometimes, come on, amen? And what you begin to think will ultimately come out of your mouth. So we have to watch. We have to make a joyful noise. You have to say to yourself, I'm going to make a joyful noise. Is this a joyful noise? Hallelujah. Is this a joyful noise? Is this something going to be expressed joyfully? Is this going to be right if I declare this? Am I say this? Is it joyful? Because if it ain't joyful, don't let it out of my mouth. That's hard to do. It takes practice. Because we're noisy. That's a turkey. Shut the doors. Here they come. No. Next verse. Come on, I want to get through this. Serve. See, I want you to hear this. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. We're going to serve something. Amen. I want you to know that if we begin to do it with joyfulness, amen, as we do that with joyfulness, if we let joy in our hearts, if we make a joyful noise, that what we're serving is the right thing. He said, serve the Lord. I love that. The first one is noise, and the second word is serve. Remember, it was land. It was a soil we were talking about. I wrote this down. That word noise means raw. That's where you get the word raw. Raw, raw, raw. You ever wonder that? That's where you get the noise. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful rah. Okay? Make a joyful noise. What kind of noise am I making? What kind of sound am I making? What am I attracting into my life? Listen, I want you to know, listen, in Mark 1:12, it says that Jesus went into the wilderness, into a dry place, but he was a soil. He changed the climate, come on, for what was within him. He didn't let what was on the outside change what was on the inside of him. It was dry, it was dead, and it says that he was being tempted by the enemy. This is Mark 1:13. And he was there in the wilderness for 40 days. 40 days. 40 days it can change you. 40 days in the hole. And he says, tempted of Satan, and he was with wild beasts. Devil's bad enough, but you got some wild beasts running around with you. And he says, and the angels minister. Not the wild beast, not Satan, but the angels ministered. That's the sound that he made. He made a sound that attracted to him what was in heaven. He made a sound that attracted heaven that came and ministered to him. That's what happened. That's where the benefits load upon you is whenever we attract heaven with what we're doing on earth. Let heaven be on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. It says that we could take a wilderness place, Jesus, let it be on earth the way it was in heaven, and the angels begin to minister to Him. Man, I tell you, listen, that's powerful. All right, I like it. Listen, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord. Plow. That word serve means to plow. That's one of the words. It means to till. Sometimes you got to till the ground to prepare your heart. You're going to serve something. Either you're going to serve that anger or this or that, or you're going to serve thankfulness. Come on, I'm going to let it make way in my life. I'm going to plow the ground. I'm going to plow the ground. If it's rough, I'm going to plow with thankfulness. Come on, amen. I'm going to stir something up. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise. Come on, amen. I'm going to let something begin to happen. I'm going to let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, it's not gloomy there. Come on, there's a joyful noise in heaven. I'm going to begin to plow the ground, begin to stir this ground up where it seems like it, but you move long enough, all of a sudden you begin to move the ground, the hardness of it. It's hard, dry. But you begin to, that little bit of sweat coming off you, begin to cause that ground to become loosened up, and it becomes to be a place of planting. I want to attract heaven. I want to attract heaven with a grateful heart. He says, no. And he says, yes. And he says, Lord, with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with singing. I come into His presence with singing. I enter into His presence with singing, with praise. Listen, I want you to know this. I don't want to jump ahead because this. I just want you to get this. Amen. That word serve actually also means to beckon. Serve the Lord with gladness. Be in a place. Have your heart be in a place. Do you remember Samuel in the Bible? We talked about Samuel where he was a place where he was a servant to the high priest. He was a servant to, and at that place that he was always available. And in the middle of the night, he'd hear the sound, and it was God. He was calling Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And he jumped up out of bed, and he ran to Eli, and he ran unto him. He says, did you call me? No, go to bed. He ran back to bed. And he's gotten to bed, he tucked himself in, and as he got in there, he heard it again, Samuel, Samuel. And guess what? He come running, because that's the only voice that he knew. But he was about ready to learn a different voice. Why? Because he was serving God. You serve God, you begin to hear heaven. You begin to change what you hear. Something will happen. And he went back and he says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. And on the third time, he finally went there, he says, it's God calling you. Listen, turn your ear to hear Him. And he heard the voice of God because he was a place able, his ear was able to hear what heaven had to say because he was serving. He had a servant attitude. So you're going to serve something. Amen? Here I am, a servant to hear. Here I am, he said. Here I am to serve. With gladness. It says, know ye that the Lord is God. I want you to know that to have thankfulness when you begin to know that He's God. That no matter what happens, that's the only way that you can praise Him or be thankful in all things is to know He's God. See, if you struggle with the idea that He's God, that He's good, then you have a hard time being thankful. Listen. He says, know ye the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, not ourselves. Thank God. Because I'm not good with directions. I wouldn't put myself together right. We have been in control sometimes of our lives. We haven't followed instructions. We've assembled some pieces that didn't fit. Have you ever done that? I think Apostle was saying that where he's taken pieces where that you know that it doesn't, but it's close enough. But when you get to the end, you realize that's not the piece that was supposed to go there and you got to take it out. You can't finish with it. It says, and it was He that hath made us and not ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are. We are. Say we are. We are. That we need to be dependent upon Him. Relying upon Him. Sheep. He used the example of sheep. Sheep are dumb. You know, I talked to a guy that used to shepherd. I guess that's what it is. He was a farmer, but he shepherded, I guess. And he used to say that the sheep would sit there and eat one spot, and once all the grass is gone, they'd eat the dirt. Just turn around. Do you ever see cows and you drive past, there's that little tiny fence, they're 300, 400 pounds, whatever they are. That little fence. If I was that fat, I would roll right through it. Ain't nobody eating me. Not this porterhouse. But those sheep, they're dependent. He used that example that you'd be at a place you're dependent for what you eat. That you graze where He brings you. You rely upon Him. Though He leads you, you follow. Because He's your source. They're not that dumb. Really. If they follow the voice of the shepherd, they get everything they need. The benefits are overflowing. Dumb sheep. Jesus, the last things that He said to His disciples was what? Feed my sheep. They're dependent upon Me. Somebody's going to try to feed them. There's wolves out there that'll try to mislead them, misguide them. And I want you to know that they better have the same voice as Jesus. With love and compassion and joy, it must come from that place. Come on, I want you to hear this. Amen? Come on, people are afraid to be deceived. I want you to know that Jesus said this. He declared to them, wives, submit to your husbands. Hear this. I know we don't always like this, but this is Scripture. And I was with a couple one time, and they said, you hear that? He looked to his wife, and he said, do you hear that? Woo! I said, whoa, back off, buddy. I said, let me explain to you what that means. I says, it's submit as Christ. I said, if you want her to submit, you better look like Jesus. Because if you ain't look like Jesus, the Word of God says you don't submit to it. And if it's ugly, if it's evil, if it's angry, that's not what we submit to. But we submit to the Christ image. Come on, church, hear me. Come on, hear that. It's easy when you submit to that because you find favor in that submitting to that. That'll bring me a place. Yeah, I'm going to submit because it looks like Jesus. Because I know the voice. All right. Listen, and he says, enter his gates. The only way that you enter his gates, enter with what? It's a key. You can't get in. Tell your neighbor you can't get in without it. Nope. Come on, I want you to hear this. You can't get in without it. It's what unlocks the door for you to get in. It unlocks the door. Here's what I'm saying. Listen, I want you to know that here's what I mean by that. The moment you receive Christ in your heart, you are thankful. You are ready to receive Him in your heart as your Savior. It unlocked heaven to you. When you open your heart to it, when you submitted to the Word of God, when you submitted to who He was, you submitted to Christ and you gave your life to Him. You entered into the gates of salvation because you were thankful. Oh, I remember that moment, the thankfulness that I have, that He rescued me out of a miry pit. He set my feet upon a rock, hallelujah. Something happened within me. I stepped through that door. Woo! Wow. Gave me a way in. And I'm thankful. Why? Because it's Jesus that gave me the way. I'm thankful because of Him. He gives me the reason to be thankful. It's all about Jesus. He says, and he sent into the courts. He says, thanksgiving into his courts. That's the way we begin. Anyway, maturity, to be mature, to begin to increase in your lives, in every area, you got to be thankful. You have to. It says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Don't curse God. Don't curse God. For the Lord is good. Tell someone the Lord is good. He's good. That means there's no evil in him. That means there's no darkness in him. He's not a liar. He's not deceptive. He's not merciful. He is merciful. Just get it in your head. That's something powerful. That's something that will empower you. That's something that will quicken you when you realize he's good. Just settle that. Just grab hold of that and say, God's good. He's good. I mean, every time you say it, the enemy says, shut up. He's good. Shut up. I want you to know when you say that, it doesn't attract the devil. It attracts heaven. God is good. Listen, he's good. His mercy is everlasting. I'm ready. His mercy is everlasting. 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 Well, it depends on me. No. His mercy is everlasting. It never stops. It doesn't depend on me. It's everlasting. His truth endures. I want you to hear this to all generations. A big burden was lifted off my back this weekend. Really was, last weekend. I was sitting there and God says, you're putting too much pressure on yourself. Sometimes we want to get done with what God has for us. Come on, I want you to know that sometimes I feel things aren't always going the way they should. Some come, some leave, some come, some leave, this and that. And it seems like, you know, I want to get traction. But is that... As I told my wife, as I sit right here, God says, this isn't about this generation. It's generational. This isn't about you getting something done in your generation. It's what you leave to the next. That lasts. No matter what I do here, no matter what we do here, it doesn't matter. What happens is what we leave. Is what we leave the next generation. See, that's what we have to be focused on. That's what's got to have our attention. What are we leaving them? And I want you to know that God is placing us on track. That just really speaking through Apostle Valentine was about unity, about us coming to the understanding about unity, about oneness. About that when we begin to follow that track, that power will follow that. It attracts heaven, oneness. And the Bible says that they were all in one accord. And the sound from heaven came. It attracted us something from heaven. Because what was in the earth, there was this oneness and unity. That's what's in heaven. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. He's looking for it to be one here. He's looking for it to be tight together here. A oneness with one another. A unity for one another. And it attracts heaven. The sound of rushing wind. And it came. And they all had one voice. One focus. Jesus. Not my theology. Not this. But one faith. There's many faiths. There's 350 denominations in America. 350. We're not at one faith. One faith. Oneness together. Listen, I want you to hear that and understand that this is generational. And I want you to know that we give something, that our come, our worship, the way that we, the way they see us, the way they see us worship, the way they see us get through things and go through things. I want you to know that it really got me today, and I understood it today, because I looked at my father and I just grabbed his hand. He says, "Have I been a good dad?" He says, "Have I been a good dad?" I said, "You've been a great dad." I said, "You have given me something that'll carry on to the next generation. You have placed in my heart a hunger for God that I can't buy, can't purchase. But you put a heart that I've watched you run. I've seen you be like Jesus. Do as I do. Follow me as I follow Christ." That's legacy. That's power. And I followed him as he followed Jesus. I looked at him as he followed Jesus. Not his mistakes or this or that, but no, the way that he ran after Jesus. Guess what it did? Caused me to run after him. He left a legacy inside me. You're tasting the legacy that my father gave me. You are. And I want us to take and hand it off to the next generation, that they become more one than we ever could have got. They praise like we never could praise. They become so thankful that they don't even know what it is to be ungrateful. They have not experienced poverty. Why? Because they're grateful for what they have. You don't have anything. They don't know what it is not to have. They're, enough is enough what I have, because I have God. That's legacy. That's powerful. God's challenged us to do that. It begins with thankfulness. Would you stand with me? And just say this as we end. Just sing, "Great.
Great are you, Lord,
for everything we have, God.
Great are you, Lord,
for what I don't see, hallelujah.
Great are you
in the midst of the storm.
Great are you, Lord.
Yes, you are, Lord Jesus.
Great are you, Lord."
One more time.
"Great are you, Lord."
Lord Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our eyes and our hearts to have an understanding of what it is to be grateful and thankful. Lord, we repent right now, God, Lord, of ungratefulness. We ask for forgiveness, God. Lord, that we begin to understand what it is to enter your gates with thanksgiving, to enter your courts with praise, to let it drive us, to let it be a sound that comes from our life that attracts those around us, that it draws those, hallelujah, that are lost and those that are weary, those that are hurting, that it pulls them in because of the gratefulness that we have for a God that's greater than our problems, a God that's massive, hallelujah, in all that he does. We have a trust in him that goes beyond our unbelief and our doubt. And we give you the glory and the honor. And with that, we will declare that we are. Amen. I want you to come Wednesday night for our Thanksgiving Eve service. Come on, I just want you to come on out and just be thankful and just come and just receive what God has and bless him and just thank him. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, bless somebody in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. No snack tonight, but there will be Wednesday.